せてやりたかった。ごく問題にさらされる詐欺僧の面、一本前に見せてやりたかった。
Chick, chick. Chicken in the oven. Chicken in the oven. Chicken in the oven. Those are fun to do, you know. I mean, it's... I'm not checking anything whatsoever. It's just a great word to start off with. It's, I don't know. It sort of breaks the ice. Chicken. Chicken. Chicken in. Chicken in. Chicken in the oven. Chicken in the oven. It just feels good. It just feels good. Yeah, that's kind of... what you want to do on the Nixon James podcast. You want to feel good when you're doing it. I don't always. Sometimes I rant. Sometimes I'm drunk or high. And sometimes I'm just got my own head a little bit too deeply up my own arse. Like perhaps on the last podcast. And by the way, my apologies. It went on for 68 minutes. That's 8 minutes over my limit. I really do consistently try and keep it to 60 minutes, but I just didn't feel like cutting anything out, and I even added in the puking bitch cakes at the end, if you got that far. Maybe some of you shut off at 60, but because I was listening to them, and I could give you 15 very true and very, very different reasons why I added that 2 or 3 minute clip on puke at the end of it. All of the reasons would be true. Some of them would seem contradictory. And you sort of... It's a weird thing about truth sometimes. There could be many truths that don't seem to match up. But I guess it depends on how you look at the situation. And maybe there's a truth... different levels of truth, perhaps. Different reasons behind truths. I don't know. But it's there, that's all. And speaking of which, here I am, and you can tell I'm at Bluffers Park by the... Is that a helicopter? Yep. Just going overhead. I'm sitting in a very, very nice spot, staring right at the bluffs. And it just amazes me that more people don't come here. Like, I've got friends who I know. I certainly bring them here. If they're not from Toronto, I will bring you here and say, look, you got to see this place. And invariably, everybody's impressed. 20 minutes ago, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was just bright, pure blue sky and a hot sun. Like I had to open my spring jacket. I sat on the rocks facing directly into the sun listening to the Bitch Cakes again. They've put out another one, or rather their manager, director, editor, engineer, whoever it is, Keith McNally of the Vinyl Countdown, put out another show, Bitch Cake 6, maybe. And I was totally engaged. It was an open, honest, unscripted, unrehearsed conversation. I mean, right at the end of it, they said, oh, is this recorder still even on? Like, they'd completely forgot about it. And I think that's the beauty of it and the wonder of it, that those ladies in particular, the three of them, all of whom I've met personally and know, I'm pleased to say, were just talking. And I think it just represents another degree of freedom within podcasting, as opposed to the people who think, okay, I'm putting out a podcast, this is really important, I got to be very careful, I got to think about what I got to say, I got to script it, write it, do all that kind of stuff. I think the beauty of podcasting is the freedom of podcasting, the freedom to say what you want and not worry too much. And the fact that it is so niche, like I would say even of, you know, there's a limited number of people who would even be interested in listening to the Dixon James podcast. I would, it might even be a narrower group, but probably not. Maybe the opposite. Maybe a much broader group of people who would want to listen to the Bitch Cakes. But people sort of, you just, it's up to you to find this stuff. I know I'm repeating myself. I say this every time I get on, but I'm just so fascinated by podcasting. I was trying to, as I listened to it and realized it's a very different world from the world I just left, my home, my conversation this morning with my wife, who would not be listening to them or any other podcast, and especially mine, that, so why am I doing that? Well, it's my hobby. And I guess probably that's the best way to think of it. Podcasting is a hobby. It happens to be, I mean, most good hobbies involve creativity and artistic expression of one form or another. And so that's it. And as part of my hobby, I think one of the benefits, the joys, is being able to listen to and tune in to people of so many different backgrounds and different outlooks and different ages. That's, you know, you just pick and choose. And of course, this is, I'm that kind of person. I'm just fascinated endlessly by people, by individual human beings and what makes each of us tick, as you would have heard on my previous mental health episode, although there it was mainly about what makes me tick. I'll try and do less of that this time. But I'm just feeling very happy. It's Saturday. God, yesterday I came home Friday, and I just was thinking, man, I love Fridays. It's just, I had a very lazy day. I didn't have to do anything. And I sort of almost ready to, I know when 5 o'clock comes, 5:30, I can have a glass of wine or a beer. That's sort of a treat. I mean, I could have one earlier if I wanted, but I don't. I just sort of look, something I look forward to. And almost every day my wife is cooking something really nice or special, and I can enjoy that. And of course, sometimes I'll go out and get stuff or, you know. But there's the pleasure, the security, the comfort of having a home, a place of your own, not having to worry about rent. Yeah, the money comes out of my bank account every couple of weeks to pay down this this mortgage. And that's just fine. That's like an investment. So I guess really what I want to say is I'm waking up to the fact that I am oh so fortunate. I have just so much to be grateful for. My life has turned out so wonderfully. And that's not, I'm not saying that as a bragging. I'm saying that almost to counteract sort of the previous podcast. Of course, I seem to have to do that every podcast. Contradict what I said the one before. But I do have a wonderful wife. I do have two wonderful sons. I do have a lovely home in Scarborough, in a place that I really like. I have a job I enjoy. I've just got everything going my way. And that's fantastic. How did that happen? Like, how did I manage that? How did I engineer that? Because I have been in the driver's seat. I was just listening to Up in This Brain as well. And he's talking about this Atari game and how it drove him nuts. And I'm thinking, wow, computer gaming was never a part of my life, just because, number one, of my age. And number two, I spent 10 years of my life outside of Canada. And I'm really, really glad of that. I'm glad I was taken out of this. The years, especially, I think, of 1980 to 82, when I was in Nigeria. Well, that's, wow. Everything that was going on, I missed at that time. I was just in a different world that didn't even, it wasn't even connected to my life in Canada. And I'm glad of that. And then those years in Japan, it was just a completely different frame of reference. So when I listen to things like a best episode ever, and I'm hearing about all this television, say from those years, you know what? Holy shit, I missed that. They'll go back to the 70s. And I think, wow, even in the 70s, when I moved out to Vancouver in 1972, I didn't have a TV. It's the last bloody thing I would have wanted. That was just never a part of my life. The whole time in Vancouver, I don't think I ever owned a TV. had a portable record player, an old Motorola that I could play my 45s and my LPs. But that was it. I was also thinking and imagining being back visiting. I'm looking forward to my next trip to Vancouver. About the fact that I feel, in a way, two of my homes are Montreal and Vancouver. I guess the two places that really had a lot to do with shaping my life, certainly in Canada, were Montreal and Vancouver. And Toronto is just the place I ended up, but it's never felt like my home, although it is. I've been here 20 years now, and I lived here before that. I lived here in 75. I lived here, I don't know when else. It's obviously, it is my home. It's the place where my children have grown up. It's the place where my wife has lived her whole time in Canada. We moved here in, I believe, 1993, or was it 94, maybe? Yeah, came here for the summer of 93, moved in 94 in the spring. So it's 20 years. And I kind of like it. I just do, as I've always said, feel really partial to Scarborough in particular. I guess if there's an identity, it's not Toronto, which is in the distance. I can't even see it from here. I'm looking at these bluffs, these sandstone cliffs. That's Scarborough. That's what I see. What I'm looking at is Scarborough. And, of course, as always, it's always got a bad image. People talk about Mayor Ford gets voted in from the people of Etobicoke and Scarborough, the demons, the Ford Nation, who likes him. And, gosh, I broke the spell. I bought it up. I mentioned Mayor Ford. He's come up on every podcast, so let's just get this out of the way. They tried Friday to take away some of his powers of hiring and firing people on committees, and they want to take away his emergency powers and doing everything to humiliate him, turn his back on him when he speaks, which is really, really insulting. But basically, it started off saying, hey, take some time off. Deal with your alcohol problem. And, of course, he refused and said, I'm getting treatment and mind your own business. And then it went from there to, all right, now it's war. We're going to get you out of office one way or the other. We're going to humiliate you. And the sad part about it, most people feel there are genuine reasons. I mean, the majority of the citizens of Toronto are saying he is not fit to be our mayor for the driving while intoxicated, the DWI, which you know, he wasn't caught for, but he owned up to, and you know that's been on more than one occasion, and the crack cocaine usage, and then saying, I never said I would eat that lady's pussy, one of his staffers, and just people were, you know, especially the American networks, blown away. What? He said, I don't eat. And then he turned around and he said, I've never said I'd like to eat so-and-so's pussy. I've got plenty to eat at home. And then he makes his wife stand beside him that same day up on the stage, who didn't say anything, who just was as distant as could be. But there she was, standing there beside the mayor. The first time he's almost made her appear in public. Gotta be humiliating. But her comment when they cornered her in the garage was, he was voted in, you know. And I think this is the other side of the issue. People say, wait a minute now. There's an awful lot of people on the city council who have diametrically opposed views to politics, economics, from him. He got in sort of with his conservative agenda of cutting spending. And there's an awful lot of left-leaning people who hated him from the start. And you'd hate to think that they are taking advantage of his weakness now and his, his problems by changing, you know, breaking his agenda by changing it. And that is what's happening. So you've got a split in the council between people who just want him out of there because he's not fit and others who want him out of there because they never wanted him in there in the first place. And so the counter-argument to that is, wait a minute, he was voted in with the majority, and you can't, just because you disagree with him, to take away his power. So it's a very interesting exercise. And we've spent far too much time talking about it. But I just do want to conclude by saying I still have a little compassion for him. He's a rough customer. I mean, I don't think he's fit to be our mayor. He should not be our mayor. He might be a great mayor, like a boss hog of a small town somewhere. But he's not fit to be the mayor of Toronto. He does not represent this city and should not be representing this city. So that's just a bad choice on the part of the citizens who voted him in. Thank you very much. It reflects very poorly on us. But the fact that he's a man who's gotten drunk beyond, you know, conservative limits and done a lot of stupid things and said a lot of stupid things, like, you know, the rumors of just stepping out of bars and lighting up joints with strange women and saying, telling them to come down to City Hall. I feel very uncomfortable with that because I've been there. I'm not in a position of authority, and I never would be, and I never would run for any political position or a position where people could pry into my past, because they would find, an awful lot of skeletons in my closet, a lot of things that I'm not proud of and stupid things I've done. And I guess I'm forgiving on that level because I really resent anybody who tries to pretend they're squeaky clean. Well, if you are, then you're a very boring person. And you've been afraid to live life. I mean, you do live life sometimes. You just do stupid things. You push past a couple of boundaries. So anybody who's never been drunk in their life, well, okay, good for you. But don't brag about it. It's nothing to brag about, okay? That's what I'm saying. And so I think I'm just forgiving on that level of, yeah, okay, you get drunk, it just starts feeling good, you got a good buzz on. Lord knows I have done the same many, many, many times and made inappropriate comments and have been a dog myself. But the difference being, he's representing, you know, Canada's largest city to the world, and I'm not. And I think that is a pretty big difference. So I guess I better stop there. This is always fun just being able to let loose. It's Saturday. It's clouded over now after that gorgeous, gorgeous bout of sunshine and warmth we had. I've got a number of papers that I should mark. I should get a haircut. I got lots of things to do. So I think I'm just going to hop into my car and get on with the rest of the day. I'm meeting Francis Wooby tonight at the Central. Looking forward to that. Mr. Wooby is a very interesting, fun guy to have a beer with. And so there you go. Carry on, and I'll be up to my usual nonsense, you can be sure. So take care. Thanks for thanks as always for listening. Thanks, Bitch Cakes, for putting out an absolutely crazy, insane, vulgar, and interesting podcast. And thanks to, I guess, Keith McNally, The Final Counter. These are people I want to bring up next time we do a Canadian podcast buffet. I want to really just talk about some of the podcasts I listen to and some that Anthony listens to. If we get our act together and do another series of Canadian podcast buffets, because we are trying to draw in the larger, wider community and get some newbies on board. Bye for now.
we've lost that. And it's, I don't know if it's innocence. I don't know what the fuck you want to call it.
Well, no, is this just me or is this episode really depressing?
Yeah, we should start being funny or something.
This, I mean, we went from Clamelba beef, and now this, like, everything that's wrong with the world is in this episode.
I tried talking about games. Holy crap. I mean, I tried to turn it around, and then I guess I brought it back down with lawn darts again. Fuck you, lawn darts.
See, this is why they're banned.
Yeah.
Their influence can be felt even when they're not there.
It led to discussions like this. People were just sick and tired of talking about lawn darts, and someone finally said, fine, we'll ban them.
Is there another game that's been banned because it's dangerous? Like that?
Okay, I'm going to let you tune in to the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour.
The Darwin Awards for kids, right?
To find out what that is. I plug shows on this podcast, you know that. My favorites, and sometimes it's the same people over and over and over again. I've mentioned the Martin Mull Variety Hour. And this episode, number 7, in spite of what Bob just said about it being the darkest episode, it was wonderful. I did grocery shopping. You know what? A real treat is if you've got a good podcast lined up to take you through the shopping when you're doing grocery shopping, something I don't particularly like to do. I don't mind it, but to have to be there in your own world completely, it's surreal to start with. Because you're in a world nobody else in that store is remotely connected to. It's like you've landed on another planet. And you tune into something like this. Wow. In particular, the part when they're talking about childhood games. And Anthony gets so excited. Like, you picture this really happy kid playing these games. Like, it's an odd thing, but there's a lot of happiness associated with Anthony. I hope he doesn't mind me saying that. He'd contradict me, the surly bastard. But anyway, that's a fine way to start my day, because today, oh my God, in about an hour and a half, no, 2 hours, I got to go to the dentist. I have to have a tooth taken out. I'm opting for the laughing gas, the nitrous oxide. I think that's what it is. Just because, I don't like dentists to start with. I love my dentist and my so on, but this is not going to be fun. Sorry, the news is on. Let's hear what they have to say about Rob Ford.
At Toronto City Hall, tension is high this hour on the floor of council again, as councillors prepare to debate a motion that would reduce Rob Ford to a figurehead mayor. But Ford and his councillor brother Doug say they will fight back against what they're calling a coup d'etat. CBC Toronto City Hall reporter Jamie Strachan joins me live from City Hall with all the details on that and what's ahead. Jamie.
Yes, Robert, a lot of rhetoric being thrown around, some strong words from the mayor and his brother, but the reality is this. In about half an hour, council will vote overwhelmingly to strip the mayor of all but the powers that he is entitled to through statute. He'll be replaced as the chair of his own executive committee, lose his staff budget. And we got a preview, really, of just how tense things are down here this morning. Council had a few other items to finish up, all items that the mayor had held. And everything he said, councillors challenged him on. Him and Councillor Vaughan even looked like they were going to come to blows. So the Fords look like they're going to fight this very hard on the floor of council this morning.
All right.
This afternoon.
All right.
Here's Councillor Doug Ford with a preview of what you might hear.
All right, Doug.
Folks, I asked the City of Toronto to rise up and fight against these folks trying to pull off a modern-day overthrow of an elected official. This is unbelievable. This is happening in our country.
And this has been the message that Councillor Ford and the mayor have been making.
A lot of people are going to rise up and be outraged. The Ford Nation is still strong. If you saw them at the
sometime probably this
yesterday's Argos game.
Robert?
JB, thank you. We'll be watching CBC Toronto.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry, G. I should exert a little more control and not let Mayor Ford into this podcast. But hey, you know, this is a Toronto podcast. How could I ignore something like that? What a ridiculous thing. How do you follow? You've done this great, great podcast, the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour. I should just shut this off and go back to listening to that. and get back to you a little later and just call us an update. I did want to say, I'll go on now. I didn't record Saturday night, but I usually do coming back from the bar. I met a good friend, the man from Silver Lake, who some of you would know.
The next station is St. George. St. George Station.
This is a bit weird, only because I'm not at all prepared. Now, I never really am prepared. I mean, that's my sales pitch. You don't prepare, you just turn it on. But very often I have something bubbling, you know, that I know I need to get out to release. And I think I've got so much back there. There's nothing rising to the surface. There's nothing at all coming up. So I'm as clueless as you are, dear listener, as to knowing what's coming next, what words are going to fall out of my mouth today. It's Wednesday. I'm in Bluffers Park. Wednesday's sort of turned into a favorite day because I do my three-hour class Tuesday, then, oh, phew, Wednesday off. And then Thursday, Friday, and my week's done, you know, five more hours to go. And this week's lined up, holy shit, part of the Emperor's birthday party Friday night, Rocco's house party Saturday night, which means I'll miss out on Picard 102's birthday party at Popper's, but I'm committed to the other one long before that, and it's a home party, and you never turn, you know, a home party is always probably going to, you know, outrank a bar party, I think, anyway, because there's just so few of them that happen, but anyway, that's ahead of us. What's behind us as well today, my son had his driving test, and I got to tell you, road test. I was so nervous. I was just so tense and stressed out and uptight. And I was trying not to dump it on him, but like, honestly, I was saying stupid things like, don't worry about it. If you fail this, we'll rebook another one right away and you'll get the next one. And he said, why are you saying that? You know, because honestly, he's probably a better driver than I am already. And he just knows how to handle the car. I mean, I've got experience, and I'm always going to use my flashers and so on. But I just was just so nervous. I just didn't want to have to go through that. I just didn't want him to have to go through that, I should say. And so I went, and my God, he just saunters back. Yeah, got to get my picture taken. What? Well, I passed, yeah, of course. Oh, my God. Now, again, him, there's more of a Japanese-ness to my number two son than my number one son, I'm thinking. And so I have to respect his privacy a lot, too. We're talking about Chuck and Jerry, the two brothers. Names I assigned to them long ago. Jerry has flown the nest, left the nest, living out in Vancouver. I don't know where. He might even be in Colorado right now. Some friends are going to make a road trip. Some friends from Toronto came up. And I don't even email that all that often, you know. I keep thinking I should, but it's sort of like when I left home in 1972, left my parents' home, I just wanted a new life. And it was to Vancouver, it was to the same place, you know, away sort of from the family. So I'm giving him his slack. I do want to go out and visit again. My wife was out there recently, and all is well, all is well, all is well. Buddy Brian is back from South America. Sadly, he got robbed in his last day, I think, in Chile, right near the Chilean-Peruvian border. Is that it? Peruvian border, Peru border. And just let his guard down just for a moment, and his whole pack with fucking everything in it. iPod, iPad, cell, I didn't have a cell phone with him, iPad and, you know, passport, money, everything he needed was gone. And that's just a major bummer. And so he was scrambling, like suddenly, hey, you can't even wire money to yourself because you don't have ID, you don't have anything. But he was able to get it through to his wife and his sons and get money and the help of a couple of Israeli travelers. Get $400 wired to him so that he could carry on, get the temp passport. Anyway, he's home, and we have yet to have a beer together to catch up on things. But I think when I last left you, I was just going into the dentist to have a tooth pulled. Man, oh, man, I'm so lucky. I like this dentist so much. Dr. Kumandra, I don't mind saying his name. Scarborough Town Center, if you're looking for a really good dentist, man, this guy is it. And anyway, I said, look, you know, the person helping get the whole thing set up gave me that whole diazepam, I guess, a whole sedative before just to calm me down. And I was all excited about nitrous oxide. I thought I was going to get high. You know, it was nicknamed laughing gas. I thought I was really going to get off on this. And they put this, strap this thing over your nose, and you breathe it in. It's supposed to relax you and kind of put you out. And no, not a clue, you know. I mean, I didn't feel anything. I felt really robbed. I wanted to get high. I had my son to drive me home. I was figuring, okay, this is going to be great. You know, it's going to be really funny. And it was nothing of the sort. Part of it is I'm a mouth breather anyway, so I don't think I was getting the full effect. And he controls it, you know, the levels, and he just sort of knew what I needed without going overboard. So that was a bust. And the first round of, he said, are you numb? The first round of needles going in, and no, I still feel it. So he had to give me a second round of needles and then leave. And then it was a little bit touch and go. There was infection, he had to clean it. I don't even like to think about it, but I have the tooth in a bag. It looked perfectly good to me. But it was a gum issue. Don't like to think about it, but it's done. And so I've been taking Advils and antibiotics, and supposedly I haven't had a drink for 3 days. That's part of the deal. So I'm missing another outing tonight, but the Final Countdown crew is reuniting for a podcast. Tune into that one. And I think I better stick to my no booze for no booze till Friday, till I run out of antibiotics. Anyway, that's what's been going on in my life. So, gosh, that's not very interesting. And I always promise not to do too much on health issues. But, you know, it's always there in the background, I guess, for everybody. How are you feeling? How's it going? How are you? You know? And nobody wants the real answer. Nobody wants to know. Well, I'm feeling a little depressed today, you know? We don't want that. I've been listening to Dave and Isabel. I'm just so excited to be going up to Sault Ste. Marie in the middle of fucking winter. I don't know why, to visit them, but I know it's just going to be a wonderful time. And they're just all interesting people. I've said that before. Change the station, sorry. I've been following a lot of Kennedy stuff. 50 years ago this week, Kennedy assassinated. And I remember that. I was in high school, and they called us in for an assembly. Hey, got some very serious news to tell you guys. I know the principal was really broken up by it. And it was a big deal. And probably more so for them than me as a 15-year-old. Do the math. Okay, well, I don't know what. Yeah, gee. But then when I got home and all the radio stations are playing really, like, I think a lot of the rock stations switched to classical music. And suddenly there was a downer about everything, and the television was all serious, nothing but that news. So I have been listening to a very interesting podcast that Up in This Brain Jason put on, of a recording from a Dallas radio station as it happened, but didn't really get the full scope of it. So they're playing the regular advertisements and, you know, their rock music and so on. All of the songs, of which I remember, of course. But and then interrupting, you know, for these bulletin, you know, there was shooting and gee, and then finally it gets, uh-oh, this is for real. So that's just sort of a memory flashback. That's all. We'll just park that one too. I tried to tell my students about it, and it's just so removed from their reality. I don't think my students have any sense of Canadian history anyway. And of course this was American, but this is a big deal for Canadians. Hey, especially during those days. And I was telling them about the air raid sirens we had put up and the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I'm realizing, wow, why am I even telling them this stuff? Like, they have no context for it. It just didn't mean anything. It's something that I'm saying as a kid, you know, hey, that was scary when you turn on your radio and they would have practice warnings, you know, of the alarm system. And Bishop Whalen, the high school not far from us, had this great big air raid siren mounted on a huge pole, and occasionally the wind would set it off. It would just turn it. You know, the wind would get into this funnel and turn the thing around, and you'd hear this startup of an air raid siren. And holy fuck, what's that? And of course, you all knew that should there really be nuclear missiles landing anywhere nearby, you were gone. That warning was probably going to tell you, okay, get down on your knees and pray. That's about all you got left. That was it. What else have I got? I don't know. What other issues are there? Are there any pressing matters that I need to share with you? I don't think so. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm just going to stop here and think and then get back to you, okay? So this is a pause, and maybe it'll be a full stop in a song. Who knows? That's it. Bam.
I thought I
I do love that sound of rain on the roof of the car. Here, Bluffers Park, it's just starting to come down, and it's kind of a gentle rain, but that's why I'm sitting in the car and not taking a walk today. It's Friday. This is the day I usually release these podcasts, but I'm a little behind. I had a couple of clips that I just decided, nah, I don't want to play that. And other days, and I just didn't feel like recording, but here I am, and I'd like to wrap this up. Holding a book in my hands, one I've read from before, Buddhism Plain and Simple by Steve Hagen. It's my favorite. I keep it by my bedside. I put it into my backpack when I'm heading downtown. Subtitle is The Practice of Being Aware Right Now, Every Day. And it's really good, and I just keep going back to it again and again and always sort of almost grasping it, but like Buddhism, you can't quite hold on to things, you know, you just gotta feel it and know it. I'm gonna read out a couple of parts if you don't mind, and if you do mind, fuck you, stop listening, go away, fuck off, I don't care. So your very own body and mind are precious because they're just as fleeting. They're changing always in every moment. In fact, you are nothing but change itself. Let's examine this closely for a moment. It's easy to see that you don't have the body you had when you were a small child, nor do you have the same mind. If you look carefully, you'll notice you don't even have the same body and mind you had when you turned this page a few moments ago. You got to look very carefully to know that, but it's even in the moments it takes you to read and process or listen to what I'm saying, this change. In those few seconds, many cells in your body died and many others were created. Countless chemical changes took place in different organs. Your thoughts changed in response to the words on this page and the circumstances around you. Thousands of synapses in your brain fired thousands of times. In each and every moment, you changed. Like the rose, our bodies and our minds are fleeting. In fact, everything in our experience, our bodies, our minds, our thoughts, our wants and needs, our relationships, is fleeting, changing, subject to death. We die in each moment, and again in each moment we are born. The process of birth and death goes on endlessly, moment after moment, right before our eyes. Everything we look at, including ourselves and every aspect of our lives, is nothing but change. Vitality consists of this very birth and death. This impermanence, this constant arising and fading away, are the very things that make our lives vibrant, wonderful, and alive. Yet we usually want to keep things from changing. We want to preserve things, to hold on to them. And believe you me, if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you know that's one of my problems. This is why I can't get rid of scraps of paper from the past. As we shall see, this desire to hold on, to somehow stop change in its tracks, is the greatest source of woe and horror and trouble in our lives. And I'll stop there from the book for a moment, but that is, again, the struggle I go through. How can I be free? I think of my possessions. I have this wonderful bar, and I have this collection of Japanese teacups that I don't even look at, that I don't need, that I should give away or sell, I guess, if I was mercenary about it. But it's like I don't want to. I don't want to let go, but I know I'm going to have to if there's some way of having the sale. I know I've talked about it before, you know, sell them to pay for my trip to India. It would be liberating, but it would be so painful. I don't know. And yet the thought of me dying and leaving those things behind to have my wife or sons have to get rid of is even worse. I should do it in my lifetime. I must. I don't know if I want to go into the next place. Let me read something else. I'll conclude here. You are already enlightened. All you have to do is stop blocking yourself and get serious about attending to what's going on. You are not lacking a thing. You only need to stop blocking or interpreting your vision. And again, there are these shortcuts when you do take good LSD or something similar, mushrooms, mescaline. You do feel the oneness of everything. You do feel what they talk about here is how we separate ourself, our life, our perception from everything around us. And we see things as being out there and we are in here. And the reality that you can experience when you're high, and maybe very rarely, maybe some of you have been able to do it just on your own, is that everything is connected. I am so connected to you right now listening. We are one. It's a seamless whole. But it's as if we've evolved in a way that we've needed to separate ourselves from this reality, that we function independently. I'm not them, you know. I'm not the things around me. I'm just observing those things. I'm not my wife. I'm not my children. I'm not anything but me. And then you find out, well, wait, what is that me you're talking about? And find out there is no such thing. And that's just so hard to wrap your heads around. But let me just jump ahead to a passage, a paragraph on consciousness. Consciousness is nothing more than the splitting of reality into this and that. Consciousness is making distinctions and drawing lines. That is set off over there, and you're set off over here. Consciousness divides what is otherwise a direct experience of a seamless whole into the world of multiplicity, the world of space and time. Or rather, it appears to divide up the whole. The whole, of course, remains whole. Because of consciousness, the universe appears out there, loaded with stuff. And likewise, because of consciousness, here I am as well, meaning I'm separate, I'm over here. I don't know what that leads us to. I don't know what you feel about it. I'm just so convinced, maybe the way some people are convinced of the Bible and the words of Christ, I'm just so convinced everything I've just read is the truth, that Buddhism is the truth. This understanding of the oneness of it all, of the living and dying with every single moment, the fact that there's no separation, that I just have this thing that I'm able to throw out these words and try and drop them into your mind, that isn't a trick. It's a very weak attempt to share something with you, a thing that I'm just grappling with myself. And I'm just, I don't know. It's like it's a mission to feel this wholeness, to feel this connection. And yet it seems, given my own stubbornness and ignorance, an impossibility. But I am trying, and it is fun, and I do get moments of understanding that fleeting awareness of, the taste of the burp, of being in the moment. That's one of the reasons I like to get high sometimes. I really do. It's sort of a filter, and you can be a little bit stoned from just something as mild as marijuana, listening to a band, and you are just sort of at one with the sounds of that band, those musical sounds the people up on stage are making when you're seeing it live. You know, the man plucking the bass, you hear those notes, you feel those notes, you're with those notes, you're understanding what's happening, that he plucks the string, creating this vibration that you hear, and which just makes you smile. Wow. It was throughout most of my 20s that I couldn't listen to music unless I was high on hash. That seems a shameful thing to say today, but that's just the way it was. Once you discovered, good hash and a water pipe and Pink Floyd, Man, that's the only way you wanted to listen. And that's why it was just so hard to stop, because music was part of your everyday life. And listening to the music, hi, was just something you did. So it's awfully hypocritical, I guess, of me to want to apply other laws and rules and expectations and regulations onto my own children, which for the most part I don't anymore. I've sort of resigned myself to think, well, they're adults, they're going to do what they're going to do. Where to go from there? Back to you and me, our relationship, you the listener. There are times, as I've explained to you in the past, when I've been embarrassed about some of the truths I've tried to share, at least truth in my own mind. I do like to share my weaknesses, because I really do think that some of us are almost afraid to do that, and I think it's really important that we do. So, again, just uncork my head from my arse. It is 50 years ago today that John F. Kennedy was assassinated by a man with a rifle, Lee Harvey Oswald. I'm not giving into any conspiracy theories. He just took the perfect shot at the perfect time and killed a man. I do think it's interesting to speculate how would the world have been had he not shot. And yet, you know, there's a mind blower. You go from one hand of Zen and everything is as it is, and you think, gee, what prompted that crossing of that man at that time with that rifle and scope to be stationed perfectly in the place to blow the brains out of the President of the United States as that car in motion drove past his line of vision in Dallas, Texas 50 years ago and changed the world, you know? Does the world sort of stabilize and get back to normal and everything eventually cancels out after a while? Or is it forever on a new path? If we are creating reality with every moment. I'm fascinated by the collectivity. I have wonderful times with my students putting up these little pictures, usually with a message of social justice. I would say the common denominator in all the pictures I put up there, aside from the humorous ones, which are few, are on social justice and the oneness of the world and the inequality that we experience. And I tell them, hey, I'm not trying to brainwash you. I just want you to think and give an opinion. And then I give mine. And I really feel this is something I'm meant to do, something I need to do, something that makes me feel my time that I'm spending in the classroom is not being wasted. And then I'll go on to, okay, now we're going to do an exercise on commas. And what are the rules for placing commas? And we do that, you know. I'll probably introduce it, but okay, now onto something boring. You got to know how to use commas, because sometimes if you don't put them in the right place, people can't understand what you're trying to say. And that's really important to have an opinion and express it well, because you do have a say in how the world is being shaped. It all really does tie together. And the beauty of this moment now, as I sit here in my car, which I've been just trying and trying and trying to drop myself into this groove, is that it is all one, and that today's lesson and the things I shared sitting on my desk talking directly to those 8 students was very much all of a one and all in tune with what it is I feel and need to express and what it is I feel is important to share and have them percolate in their heads, and they do listen. And they do process the information and the thoughts and the ideas and express opinions. And now here I am sharing them with you, trying to say it really is important to be spontaneous, to try and enter that moment, not to live for, okay, today I've got to go shopping, I got to do this, I got to do that. Okay, maybe you do, but while you're shopping, let it be dynamic. Let it be alive. Let it be an enjoyable. Let it be a living experience. Let there be thoughts, you know, as you pick up products to buy or not to buy or compare prices. Be in that moment and have some pleasure or satisfaction realizing whatever it is you pick up. One time you're going to be eating that, and it's going to be another entirely new moment that you may be sharing with your children, your family, your loved one, or even on your own, and that every decision we make plays out somehow or other in our lives, and we just got to keep trying to drop ourselves back into that groove to be in the moment, to be celebrating the moment, to feel alive as I am right now, believe you me, in this beautiful park, looking out at the lagoon and the trees and the winter landscape, and holding this thing in my hand, which actually feels good. I'm actually feeling the touch of this Olympus LS10. I'm gripping it tighter now, holding it tight, squeezing it just to feel this very alive sense of, wow, here the fuck it is, right fucking now. Yes, indeed, boys and girls, holy fuck. I'm sorry I can't express my zen in a better way, a more sophisticated way, but that's just what works for me. And thank you for giving me an excuse to let these words tumble out of my mouth in some kind of a rhythmic fashion that just makes me feel really good. All right? So I'm going to knock it off there. I'm going to close it out there. I might even give you another song instead and cut this one a little bit short. But that's as far as we got. I don't know what all that added up to, and I don't really have to know, because this is just the end of another Dicks and Janes podcast. And after this, ooh, you betcha, there's going to be another one next week. Bye for now, boys and girls. Be good, have fun, stay alive. Thank you.
Drive my